Oh, and welcome to a season wrap-up of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carson. I'm Kieran O'Connor, joined as always by the newly married, not you, John, that'll never happen, the newly married Mike Carson.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Kieran.
Thank you. It was a
No
lovely
problem,
wedding a
John.
week ago. This is my first week's anniversary. Had a quick honeymoon down on the South Coast. Got back in time to watch Ireland just squeak by Italy and watch England just squeak by Scotland. Oh, wait. I must have got that wrong. Boy, did that bother me.
Yeah, for the record, listeners,
There was cheering
we've
at
spent the last 20
the
minutes
Carlson
talking about
household.
rugby, so
Yeah.
and John Boff, a man familiar with rugby, goes to lots of Ireland games, a bit of entertainment in his time as
Bit of
well. How are
entertainment,
you?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad. There's been a lot of sport to watch, both in the rugby and on the gridiron as well. Last Sunday was an interesting day for all of us, I think, as well.
Yeah, so look, listeners, what we're going to do is we're going to look back at the Super Bowl, then we're going to have a little early look at maybe next year some of the teams that could come up. Because a reminder, guys, the Super Bowl, for the first time in a number of years, contained really two outsiders. 66 and 80 to 1 was available on the New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
Breaks kind of a record of where we see things like Kansas City in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, all who were in like the top three in the market, the LA Rams and stuff like that. So, Mike, is it a precursor to a possibly a kind of a everyone returning to the middle, or will next season will we
You
see a
know,
more
I was just writing
defined
about
thing?
that, and it seems to me the other way around that instead of everyone turning to the middle, which is theoretically what the idea of parity is, what you got was a lot of bad teams, you know, whose three win or four win seasons actually flatter them in some ways, because you didn't really have a lot of great teams. And I thought, you know, the NFC West, given that the Niners were injury riddled and still made the playoffs, was kind of like the old days when you had to get out of the NFC East in order to get to the playoffs, with Washington and Dallas and the Giants and the Eagles sometimes. And, you know, I think the Seattle Rams game in the NFC Championship was really the Super Bowl. You know, those were probably the two best teams in the league at season's end. And, you know, not putting down the Patriots like everyone was doing because they played an easy schedule, and they did, but, you know, and they played well. In the play, the defense played well for, you know, for most of the game against Seattle, but they were never in that game. The score was really flattering to them. And I just thought, you know, at the beginning of the season, I can't remember, because I might not have participated in that show because I was still in hospital then, but Seattle would have been one of my dark horse picks at that point. You know, for, you know, not really feeling that they could get out of that division. The Patriots certainly would not have been, but the NFC North and the AFC North and the AFC West were all divisions I thought were overall probably as strong, or maybe as strong as the NFC West. You know, so you could really have had a two-tier NFL had things worked out better. You know, we were all talking about four potential playoff teams in the AFC North, three in the NFC North, and you know, two, maybe three in the AFC West. You know, and those are the best teams, but none of them really jumped out ahead of anyone else. Seattle, I think, was the best team in the league at the end of the league because they were so balanced. You know, not really outstanding in any one area, but balanced in both.
Yeah, and John, on the Super Bowl, we're pretty much a week out. Strange, do you know, it was a strange sort of game, because I remember thinking midway through the third, like, that the game was destined to be under for the last hour. You know, it was always, and then we actually ended up only being like one touchdown away from the game going over, like the kind
It
of
was
packed fourth quarter.
44.5, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
I
it was
think,
like, I was like, if there's one more score in this, anyone who was on the under must have been like, you gotta be fucking kidding me if this thing goes
Well,
over.
They got the score, but it was called back on a penalty, on a
That's
holding
right.
call.
That's right. That's right. It would have gone over except for the whole. Yeah, that would have been insane. Like, that would have been a real bad beat at the
There's a
Super
lot of
Bowl.
garbage time towards the end, though, you'd imagine, wasn't there? So, like,
Oh
it's.
yeah, Patriots got like two tutties, and it was one by.
Because like they
Overall,
did
great the game.
they scored in the fourth quarter, right? Or did they get anything towards the end of the third quarter? I
The
can't
score
quite.
with the first touchdown was in the
First
fourth quarter for Barnum.
touchdowns in the
There
fourth,
you go. So that's it was very strange. That sort of game, I was going to say, I think it aligned pretty closely to actually our preview that we collectively gave a few days beforehand. It went down. Maybe it's because we just thought about this so much, or we overthought it, but like it kind of went to script as I think many of us were expecting. Like, if you listen to our season preview show, we kind of called into question how the Patriots offensive line would handle, and we did talk about Will Campbell, who's now look, he's a young lad, he's a rookie, he's making his, you know, it's his he's a first round pick. He was obviously very, very highly regarded coming into the season, and he's not a wash, he's a good player. And I think he was playing injured, to be fair to him. He said that in the aftermath, but he didn't have a good game. And that was kind of the script that we were following. Like the idea was that we actually said the exact line on the show, I think, was that if the Seahawks can prosper with the four man rush and they can leave all, you know, a lot of coverage in the backfield, they will be fine. And that's kind of exactly what happened in that game. I don't think people look, one of the other narratives going into the game was like whether or not Sam Darnold will have a playoff appearance like he had in last season, where he just kind of seemed to, I don't know, shit the bed, I suppose, to use that sort of phrase. But it was actually Drake May who had the really unsuccessful game. Darnold played fine. He played as well as he needed to win that particular game, I think. Like, it's kind of telling sometimes when you have a Super Bowl and the MVP isn't the quarterback. It was obviously Kenneth Walker who got something 130 odd yards in that sort of game. He was the difference maker, as well as the Seahawks special teams, let's be honest. Well, the punter and the kicker were outstanding in that game, but the punter particularly. But yeah, that game I think very much sort of went to script, and I think that's
Yeah, Darnold was not actually as bad as everyone thought said in the first half because he didn't turn the ball over.
That was the
He
crucial
got out
thing.
of he got out of trouble. He had a couple of passes dropped that would have made a big difference. And he was putting the ball pretty much on target or throwing it away, but he was not losing anything for them. And that was the important thing because the
No,
Patriots defense did come out strong. You know, they did play a good first half.
Darnold had zero interceptions and one sack, and May had two interceptions and six sacks. Pretend like there was kind of a seventh in there as well, but like it wasn't ruled as a sack. But that's, I think, as well. Like, it was an interesting game. I don't think many people would disagree with the statement that the Seattle Seahawks very, very much deserved the win and that they were the best team in the league this year. Like, that's when we can see the totality of things. Like, very, very impressive defense. That defensive line is very, very stout. Emenwari, the safety, is a great, great player. Kenneth Walker is a very, well, he's an above average running back. And Smith and Jigba wasn't a big factor in this particular game, but you always have to, you know, be aware of him. You always have to put your best corner on him. So yeah, that was the script of the game, I thought.
The Betfair after our show, I was so convinced. Bet I was and I was recommending this to people when they'd ask me for my best bet, rather than a Drake May touchdown, which is what I foolishly used at the on our show. But Betfair were giving 13-8, if I remember right, for a Seattle win and the under.
Yeah, would have
And
been around that, yeah.
I was pretty confident in that.
Yeah, that was, I believe that was my best bet on last week's show as well, wasn't it?
Was
I
well,
think
I'll
so.
check for that.
I
I'm in my
should boo
disgust.
John for a little
I may have thrown the paper away.
bit. So, while you're
Yours was
looking.
Seattle win and under. Yes, that was
There
it.
you go. Well
And
done,
John
John.
convinced me. And of course, that meant I couldn't take either Seattle win or under as my best bet, which cemented Balfe's championship. We should
Exactly.
honor him
It's been a
now.
good year for
Fair
me. It's been
play.
a good
Fair play,
year.
Tom. Yeah, it's been a great year for you. Won our fantasy league, won everything. Now, one thing, right, is to look to next season. And one thing that's really struck out as I was getting ready for this is that the best price, the Seattle Seahawks are the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year, right? So they're defending champions. You can kind of understand why. 9-1 on Betfred, if anyone on planet Earth still has a Betfred account, in and around 8-1 on most other bookmakers, Billy Hill's, BetMGM, a terrible bookmaker, don't bet with them, but in and around that. The New England Patriots are 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. Best price Sky Bet. In and around
Wouldn't
16s
take that.
everywhere else. Bet365. Oh,
Yeah,
sorry, are
no,
also of
I'm not
16.
taking that either.
Isn't that wild, though? So I can tell you that there are one, two, three, four teams in the AFC currently ahead of them. Bills,
Well,
Ravens, Chiefs.
can I hit you with a little interesting
Sure.
tidbit that I saw? So I believe this is true, but in 28 of the last 29 seasons, at least one of the four teams who have made the conference championship game have failed to qualify for the playoffs in the following season. In 28 of 29
Wow.
seasons. So, I mean, I'll put it to you guys, which of these four teams, if you had to pick one that wouldn't make the playoffs next season, who would you think it would be?
Yeah, I guess probably. Well,
It
I'd
would have to
be.
be New England.
It would
Well,
have
it
to be New
depends on what
England.
the
Yeah.
Ravens do at QB as well, because there is question
That's
marks
true.
about.
Yeah. I mean, it's early doors, but yeah. The
Yeah,
Ravens,
yeah.
wouldn't
Wouldn't
they? The
they?
Ravens didn't make the Final Four.
Yeah, it was the Patriots and the Broncos. So it would be the Patriots,
Patriots and the
Broncos,
Broncos.
or the Rams and the Seahawks. One of those four teams did not make the playoffs. It would have to be, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens, obviously, but it would be the Patriots, given the fact that I'm not sure if you both have seen their schedule next season, but it's very, very difficult. They're playing basically
Yeah, the
all
Patriots
of
will
the
have a
good
really hard
teams.
schedule.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they were anything better than 10.5 wins when the over-unders come out for next season. You know, that sounds
Okay.
about where they should be.
Yeah. Very
And
tough right
Buffalo
now
will
to sort of
certainly
say.
be more like 11 or 12. Okay.
There's also the just talking if we're talking about a little bit about next season as well. There's
Of
also
course, Tom.
particularly in the as it relates to the AFC, and I guess we're talking about that now with the Patriots a little bit, but as you mentioned, Kieran, a little bit a minute or two ago, the Ravens presumably will be a factor next year. You'd have to assume the Chiefs will be a factor next year as well. The Bills will be a factor. So these are three teams that really didn't have the type of season that many were expecting of them. So that's really going to there's going to be a lot of horses in the race next year in the AFC, particularly, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see if the Bills miss Sean McDermott as much as I think they will. You know, that's an interesting situation. Baltimore is going to has a new coach as well. The Harbaugh years, and I loved the guy who said they asked the owner, you know, if Baltimore had won that first playoff game, the wild card game, you know, would Harbaugh still have been coached? And he said only for another week.
All that, yeah. Okay, before we get on, let me just tell you where we are for next season. I'm going to give some people best prices. Seattle Seahawks said 9-1. You can get Rams at 9-1 on many books as well. Which I guess actually well, yeah, they're 9-1 across the field. There's a little bit of eights. Buffalo Bills, best price you're going to get them is Coral at 12s. They're available 12s at Ladbrokes and BetVictor as well. Green Bay Packers, pretty much 14s across the board. Ravens are 14s and 12s. LA Chargers, Betfred again, 16s. Boyle Sports also 16s. Who we got? Chargers. Ugh, stay away from Chargers. Let's just if we've learned from our 7 or 8 seasons at this stage, it's to stay away from the Chargers. Kansas City, 14s, 14s to 16s is the general. Philadelphia Eagles, same as Detroit Lions, San Francisco 49ers, and we go on. If you are in any way, shape, or form given to have a bet on the Super Bowl, which takes place in February, a full year out, which I know people do, like to have bets pre-season anyway. This is quite early for pre-season without no trades or, you know, still some coaching, but who would you be looking at as kind of the new almost men? Like who's going to come around here, guys, and really do well? John, I'll let you go first. Who do you like?
Well, the first, I mean, I'm not sure if this strictly
Do not say
qualifies
the
for the way
fucking
you.
Browns.
No, I'm not going to say the brands, but I'm not sure this strictly qualifies by the way you phrased the question there, but I'm
Sure.
expecting, I mean, it's the Chiefs because I think that I have a feeling that they're going to get Jeremiah Love in the draft this year, who's probably the top running back prospect who will be available on draft day. And I think they're like, assuming Patrick Mahomes kind of gets his shit together again, and assuming Andy Reid still has the juice to run a top class offense, which I assume he does, even after a down year that they had this year as well. I think they're a team that just needs to be infused with a little bit of quality in some of the skill positions to really kind of bolster their prospects. And depending on who they pick up in free agency, I'm not even really sure what their cap liability is at the moment and how prosperous they are in that regard. But yeah, I don't think it's like I sound even saying this out loud, it sounds kind of strange. It's like, hey, check out the Chiefs next year; they might be good. But after the year that they had, law of averages suggests bounce back. And if they put some key players in some key positions, I think they can really go back to being, as good as they were a year or two ago.
Yeah,
Mike?
I think the Bears might be a good bet to sit on. And this is one of those things where if you're a Bears fan, you might as well stick some money down. But if they can improve like they did last year, and with Ben Johnson, I would say Ben Johnson's loss was the biggest thing that hurt Detroit all season. Oh, when you look at it in retrospect, I still have a lot of sort of faith in Howie Roseman and the Eagles, but I think their rebuilding needs to be a bit more than most teams. The Chiefs are in a similar boat. Chiefs Eagles, which seemed like a reasonable bet for a repeat of a Super Bowl, seems again that way because they're Chiefs and Eagles. But I got to say, if I were picking a short odds favorite right now, I think the Rams should be Super Bowl favorites coming off the end of last year.
I'd agree with
And
that.
I think they probably get better. I think they've been run very well the last few years by Les Snead and Sean McVay, and they've got a good young team, and they know what they need to improve. And it's only a couple of players really in key areas.
Just
They would be an what's the thing? Over the hump kind of team, the kind of team that believes if we get one or two of the right guys, we can get over the hump.
Just to your point on the Bears, the speculation, just as it goes around social media today, is that they're going in hard for Max Crosby from the Raiders, which if they got him on that team, that would be that's the definition of the phrase game changer, I think.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going out of there, isn't he? On the Bears, they're 25s across the board. They're as low as 20s with a couple. Boo, Boyle Sports. Boo, Betfred. What are you at? You can get them at 28s on Sky Bet. That's the best price you're going to get on that. I'm not mentioning Betfair Exchange, of course, but you can get bigger odds on that on a few of these as well. I am looking, guys, right, because I'm going to shout some names and pick one because obviously people are going to listen to me and are going to say, "Well, hold on a second, Kieran, you big old handsome bastard." It's the two teams that were in the Super Bowl this year were 66 and 80 to 1. So
Yeah, you said that.
if I was right, I'm going to list out some teams. So the shortest price they can be is 66, and you tell me which one of these teams is likely to get to the Super Bowl. Okay, Mike, I'll let you go first. The Falcons, the Giants, the Steelers, the Panthers, the Titans, the Browns, the Saints, the Raiders. I'm going to stop there because the Dolphins, Cardinals, and Jets are just unbackable. But of all of those teams.
I would say the Saints,
Okay.
given the way they finished the year. But I know everyone's excited about the Giants
That's what I
getting
was going to
Dart
say.
and Scadabo back from injury. I'm not.
And
I
Neighbors
think
back
they,
from injury, let's be honest as well.
yeah, I think they still probably have a way to go. I think Atlanta is another one where there's a good amount of talent there. And I'm not sure about, coaching change making a huge difference for them, front office making a huge difference for them. But, there's in that division, who knows? Tampa, Baker Mayfield could still make John happy for the rest of his life.
He's done enough to make me happy.
What has he done lately, John? Wow. For the record, the New York Giants, I mean, there's a lot. You can get 80s.
Well, I mean, that's look for an 80 to 1 bet. That's a pretty decent one, I would say. If you're going to be throwing money at a long odds kind of situation for a team to now all of a sudden have a Harbaugh coach. And look, Jackson Dart, I know you were just talking about this, Mike, but like he doesn't look bad. It looks like he can handle an offense. Scatabu, I'm not sure he's going to pull up too many trees, but like he is that sort of like, barreling running back that fans will enjoy and just kind of try and run in a straight line as far as he can, kind of player. And look, Malik Nabers is a really, really good thing. But the thing we're talking about there with those two very, very crucial skill positions, they're both coming off serious, serious injuries. So that is the that's the question mark in that particular equation.
I've seen
You
Scadabo
know
because
what's
he's been
interesting?
at WWF shows. He's done a few things,
He
so he can't be
slapped
that
somebody,
injured.
didn't he?
Yeah, he got involved.
You know what's
Yeah.
interesting is there's only four draft years that have produced two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Okay, 71, Jim Plunkett and Joe Theismann.
Remember it well.
79, Phil Simms and Joe Montana. And Montana was a third round pick, and Theismann was a fourth round pick. 04, Eli and Ben. And 12, Russell Wilson and Nick Foles, who were both third round picks.
Do you think
Okay.
18 will follow?
Now, well, if you realize that Darnold has just won a Super Bowl, yeah,
Yeah. You'll
that
need
18 draft
Josh
with
Allen
Lamar
or Lamar is
and
what you need.
Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, you
It
know.
sounds like the disrespect to Josh Rosen right now is off the charts. The chosen Rosen, the chosen one. Its day will come, I'm
My
telling
God.
you.
Now here's one too. And
What is.
this could be the next
Okay.
halftime show at Super Bowl 61. Or do you know what links Robert Kraft, Steve Tisch, Ziggy Wolf, Arthur Blank, and Steve Ross,
Well, I
and
have an idea,
five
but I'm going to let
great
you say
NFL
it.
owners?
You go for it, Mike.
They're all
I'm Googling.
mentioned in the Epstein
I thought that
papers.
was going to be
Okay,
the
that's.
answer.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they were up to Epsteining. You know, there are other reasons why people have shown up there, some very, very innocent. But that's five out of 31.
That's a very
Mike,
pregnant butty put in there as
I've got a couple of questions
well,
before we leg
Mike.
it here, lads. Quick couple of questions. Mike, Kurt Cignetti,
Yes.
will he be an NFL coach in the next 12 months? For those of you who don't know, he is the head football coach for
He,
the
yeah,
Indiana
he's.
University, and he's a quite the character.
He's
He's
committed
fun.
pretty seriously to Indiana. And it may be that he thinks his style of coaching is better suited to college ball, which is now a game of recruiting with fewer restrictions than you have in the NFL in terms of draft and free agents that you can do. I think the interesting thing would be if the Raiders if the Raiders hired him like in week
Well, that was the
six.
rumor, was it
Yeah,
though?
I kind of doubt it though. The counter argument, which I think is a serious one, is that he's worked as a college coach for a long time. He's had an undefeated season, won the national championship, his quarterback won the Heisman Trophy. There's nowhere for him to go except to become a dynastic coach, and that's never going to happen at Indiana. No matter how good a coach he is, you know, it's not like Urban Meyer going from Florida to Ohio State or Nick Saban at Alabama. You know, it's a difficult thing to build continuity nowadays into a program, and you've got to be starting from a platform of high success and high exposure, neither of which Indiana has.
Do you believe that is QB Fernando Mendoza, who is an absolute giant of a man? If for those of you who weren't following college football, just for anyone who wasn't following the college football, this team performed extremely well, very well coached, and had a quarterback that looks, eye test only, to be, very, I'm not going to say superstar in waiting, but looks very, very good and would fit in an NFL team. We,
Yeah,
again,
well,
it's the Raiders.
you'll see him playing for the Raiders next year. So
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
where I
That's the problem when you
stand.
go. Yeah, that's the problem when you go into the NFL, especially if you're the number one pick. You're almost always going to a bad team, and they're going to look for you to, lead them to the promised land right away, and it's ain't going to happen. But I think he's a really great prospect. Not as toolsy as some who've come down the line in the last few years, but obviously ready to play, I think, in the NFL.
Who would you put
As
Mike
the
as his closest representation in the NFL? Who does he play like in your opinion? Who's the archetype?
Well,
I
you know,
mean,
sorry to interrupt, but he has been compared a lot to Matt Ryan.
yeah, that's not a bad comparison. I was thinking in terms of Justin Herbert before they sort of let him run in the toward the end of his season, senior season. He's not quite a pure pocket passer the way Ryan was. He can move about a bit. And they come from different eras too. So he does understand that kind of short passing RPO kind of offense really well. So I mean Ryan's not a bad shout. They look a little bit alike. When
They
they're
do.
back.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Last question for both of you is I guess what could happen in the off season that could be a game changer for any team? Lots of rumors spiraling around. John, you were just saying about Max Crosby. Is there something else? Is there could we have a quarterback change at the Ravens? Could we have a quarterback change at Miami? Could they swap like Freaky Friday, but actually this time as bodies as well as mind?
Arizona and Miami swap quarterbacks.
Yeah, we could go with that too.
That's feasible.
What is Arizona and Miami? That could happen, you
Kyler
think?
Murray
I can
could be
actually
out.
legitimately see that happening. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who would that benefit more?
The football fans. People watching it on
Football in general.
TV.
No, the mouth clowns on talk radio.
Yeah.
Anything else that we think could happen in the off season that could be a game changer for a team?
Interesting. Who are there? Yeah, it's not. I'm just trying to think about the free agency class this year. I don't think there's any. I
Okay. Well, while
mean,
you're thinking about that.
There's going to be some quite a few cap casualties along the way. I mean, I was reading an article this morning about the Patriots suggesting that it would be smart for them to let Stephon Diggs go, to let Barmore, the defensive tackle, go, because their salaries are going to jump if they keep them past March. And to be honest, Diggs was, I mean,
Well, of course, he missed the Super Bowl, which was awful for him.
and they both have domestic violence cases waiting on them as well. But I mean, Diggs was a good influence on the Pats, but he wasn't, you know, he's not, they don't have a receiver. This is one of the big problems with their offense. They don't have a receiver you need to game plan for, the way the Patriots had to game plan for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You know, the Seattle could sit back in zone, rush four guys or sometimes five, but from odd angles, and just play zone in the back. And if they played man to man, they never had to double anybody. So it's, you know, you can argue he's not going to be worth the 20 million plus that he's due next year.
Yeah.
And the last question is obviously we now have on the international games, we have this huge expansion. No game in Ireland this coming season, but it sounds like it will be back within the next three, possibly they're definitely coming back, which is good for Ireland. But I did notice, I mean, some of the games are just like the expansion is a good thing for the league as a whole. Like it was different when it was like one or two games in London. Now you're talking about almost a game every single week, as far as I can tell. They're going to Australia. They're bringing the San Francisco 49ers are playing. Is it the Chargers or the Rams? I can't remember straight off the top of my head. Are going to Australia and they're playing at an incredible time in the morning for the West Coast people who are actually fans of the team. There's a game in Spain, there's a game in France. And it brings up the second point about the international games, which is really the thing that nobody wants to talk about in the UK, especially, is that London's kind of getting boned with these games because the game in France and the game in Spain is good. The game that was in Dublin was an exciting game, but like the games in London are not exactly crème de la crème, are they, Mike?
Do they have Jacksonville this year?
Yeah, they always have Jacksonville. They've got like two or
Yeah, I
three
mean
Jacksonville
that's
games.
a given. And I
Yeah,
mean, I've
they had
said
the
this a
Jets
lot.
last year, like.
What yeah, when you choose teams this year, you can't put, you know, it's like financial investment, you know, doesn't guarantee past performance, doesn't guarantee future performance. I noticed the Saints are going to Paris probably because they have a fleur-de-lis in their in their logo. But
Absolutely.
you also
Makes
can
perfect
get two
sense.
good teams and not have a good game. I mean, it really is a snake pit in terms of what you choose. And, you know, unless you deliberately choose the Raiders and the Browns, say, for a game, you know, you're not going to really have a great game between those two teams even next year. And I think the Browns have some room for quick improvement,
Yeah. The
but
rumor,
not
the
necessarily a
report is
lot.
they're playing the Saints in Paris, apparently. That seems to be what it is. Yeah.
Do we believe that, and this is no shade on people who live in Australia and stuff like that, but like is there an actual argument for this game to be played in Melbourne, like considering what the team is going to have to go through? I know it's like they've had to make it week one for that very reason. They have to fly across the globe to a country where it's not that popular because of the time it's on, and for the people who are at home watching it, it's going to be in the middle of the night, I think. Over here,
My stepdaughter was
probably
excited
early
to
in the
have a game in
morning on
Melbourne.
Sunday, you would assume.
Yeah, I think the logistics involved with that are crazy compared to what they're actually, what the benefits are. Like it's hard to, you know, that's something that that should take place in other sports is like an exhibition or a preseason kind of game or something like that. But to have a regular season game week one, look, I don't think there'd be many players on teams be putting their hands up and saying like, I want to go play in Melbourne. It's been
Oh,
a
no.
long-standing ambition of
Believe
mine.
me. Believe me, when you hear the coaches talk about how great it is and the players how great it is to do it, it's all bullshit.
Oh,
They
100%. Yeah.
don't want to do it.
Yeah.
They do not want to trip. They don't want to break their season routine. No team does, you know, and maybe the odd player here or there doesn't mind, but most of the players don't either. You know, you really can't have a normal game under those under even the London circumstances, which are, you know, relatively simple.
I don't care which team gets designated as the home team. It's an away game for both. Like, there's no way around that,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Like,
and it will be in Melbourne. the 9:25 kickoff time in the UK and Ireland is between 4 and 6 a.m. on Monday morning. So like it's just not possible that for like people can't watch these games, which means the 6 o'clock is like 1 o'clock, half 12.
Yeah.
Like
Best Super Bowl I wa ever watched that I wasn't working at was the Packers Seattle one, and I was watch it is because I was watching it in Auckland. And it started like at 11:30 in the morning. I went down to a bar at Auckland Harbor. There weren't more than half a dozen people watching on the screen, but four of them were from Seattle. So that was fun. And had brunch while I watched the Super Bowl. And it was fantastic.
That
And then
sounds
had the rest of the
great.
day to do whatever else I wanted. I mean, you know, I would move there just for one game a year. Yeah, it's like British football fans who live in Los Angeles think they've died and gone to heaven because they watch these games at 10 in the morning and then they have the rest of their day free, you know.
Yeah, I lived in Australia for a period, and I actually lost touch what was happening in the Premier League during that time. But I do remember being in a nightclub, and looking across at a crowded bar and seeing Stamford Bridge, like on a big telly up in the middle of the day. And I was like, "Is that live? I'm pretty sure that's live." It was the half 12 kickoff, like it was like 12. But listen, that's it, gentlemen. Listen, I want to thank everyone who's listened to every single episode. We don't normally get to do a kind of a Super Bowl recap because Betfair are like, is there betting? No, well, then fuck you. But this new show obviously gave us a little bit more freedom. I want to thank John for joining us during the year. He's got a full-time job and all that. And he's worked around his schedule brilliantly. And Mike, of course, who's going through some treatment. Thank you for joining us every single week as well. I'm sure everyone was delighted to hear from you and knows you're doing well. And just thanks for joining us. We're going to take a short break now, and then we hopefully will be back in new season with the show back, and that's it, gentlemen. Have
Yeah,
you?
so if any of you have a, you know, few thousand euros you'd like to, you know, use to promote
Yeah,
yourselves or your
absolutely.
product,
We're
we could
really
always
good
use
at
a
ad
sponsor.
reads. We can read ads like nobody's business on this show.
Yeah. I used to, it doesn't happen anymore, but I used to get emails from Manscaped all the time about sponsoring shows. And I feel like, you know, I'll
Manscaped.
shave my, yeah, it's the stuff you use to shave your balls, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, you're a married man now. You should look into this.
You're a married man, Mike. You can forget about it. I haven't done it in 10 years. Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Any Given Game Day, sponsored by Manscaped, the only product you can use if your balls are hairy.
Exactly. Yeah. But you've actually
Like,
done it. Now,
we
look,
should
they
send them
actually owe us
in.
money now. They owe
Send
us
them an
money, if you ask
invoice
me.
for that.
Yeah, it's
Absolutely.
the sincerity. It's the sincerity. If you can fake sincerity, you can fake anything.
Exactly. And if we can,
Anyone.
congratulations to Mike as well on his recent marriage. He's married an Irish woman now, so he's half Irish, let's say. We've claimed him.
Yeah, we'll
Part,
claim him
thank
for
you.
now.
I appreciate that, you know, and, you know, up the treaty.
Yes, go. Everybody loves Limerick. And on that note, we shall leave it. Thank you so much for listening. Please do subscribe. Hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening, because when we do come back, you will get a notification that we are back. Have a wonderful summer, and hopefully, we'll see you again very soon on Any Given Game Day with Mike Carson. Bye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye.